I didn't want to come, so I don't know how you felt. Great to see you, John. What's the difference between a hero and a celebrity? It's like the difference between Mother Teresa and Madonna. It's the difference between Billy Graham and Billy Idol. It's the difference between Terry Fox and Terry Hatcher. Some people are just famous, but some people have made sacrifices for the benefit of others. That's the difference between a hero and a celebrity. What makes a difference between heroes and celebrities? Is it talent? No. They both can have talent or they both can have no talent. Is it intelligence? No, because both heroes and celebrities can have intelligence, or they both can have limited intelligence. Is it persistence? No, both heroes and celebrities can be persistent. A simple definition of a hero is this: someone who acts to help another with no thought for herself or himself. So what I want to propose to you today is this, that the difference lies in the area of sacrifice. There are a lot of people who make sacrifices, but many people make sacrifices for themselves. They'll sacrifice for personal gain. They'll sacrifice for their own goals. They'll sacrifice in order to build a great business, and they can make lots of money. Or they'll sacrifice to become a professional athlete. No one gets to the Olympics, or no one becomes world-class musician or professional hockey player without tremendous sacrifice. To be number one in your field of expertise takes great sacrifice. And many people make sacrifices, but they do it for their own goals, for their own reasons. So what is a hero? Well, a hero is different in this sense. A hero sacrifices for others. So the difference between a hero and a celebrity is that you can be a top athlete, but not be a hero because you're doing it all for yourself. You just want the best that you can be for yourself, to be the best you can be in your career. But a hero sacrifices for other people, for the benefit of others. Now, why does this metaphor exist in our culture, the idea of a hero? I think it's simply because of this, that deep inside of all of us, there is a desire to make our lives count. You might not realize it, but God put it there. He put in you and in me a desire to find meaning and purpose and fulfillment, to make a difference. That's where it comes from. It comes from God. You know, we search for personal gratification in our own ways. We search for it through our career, through sex, through money. You know, if it came by gratifying every desire, the wealthiest people in the world could be the happiest people in the world because they can gratify every whim. But we know that's simply not true. So what is it that gives gratification? What is it that gives us that feeling of significance, meaning, purpose in life? What is it that brings that feeling of satisfaction? Well, the Bible says it's when you give your life away. God created you to give your life away. God made you to help other people, not just your family, because it's normal to care for your own family, but to help other people who might give you nothing in return. It says this in Romans. It says, "Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God." There's three things I want to point out about this verse. First of all, God always gives you a choice. Just in this verse, you can see the choice. You have the choice that you can either be an instrument of evil or you can be an instrument for God's glory. All of us have that choice. God will never force you to do anything. Everyone is choosing all the time what kind of instrument they are. And it gives two choices, between evil or for God's glory. God is not going to force you to make an impact with your life. He doesn't force you to give your life away to help other people, to encourage other people, to use your talents to bless other people. You can live a totally self-centered life, a selfish life. You can be just a little simple egotistical clod here on this earth. And many people live that way. They live for themselves, their own interests, their own family, their own needs. And God will give you that choice. If you want, you can live a very self-centered life. But if you do, you'll miss out on the greatest blessings God has for your life. You'll miss out on the greatest thrill that you can experience in life. It's a secret of significance, a habit that leads to happiness, but it's a choice. The second thing I want to point out from this verse is you can be an instrument, either in the hands of God to make a difference in this world, or an instrument for evil. You know, I thought if I feel like an instrument, after all the food I ate this week, I kind of feel like a tuba. But God says he wants to use you as an instrument. So that's what I want to talk about as we start this new year. I've called this series, A New You for a New Year. God wants to use you. God wants to use you as an instrument. You know, a musical instrument by itself is nothing. But in the right hands, you know, it can make beautiful things, beautiful music. You know, when I pick up a guitar, it's okay. I can make some music, but no, if Eric Clapton picks it up, right, wow. So the verse is saying that all of us are instruments, but we're instruments in God's hands. And that's why we can do such amazing things through us. Third, it requires sacrifice, and that's what I want to talk about today. So to be used by God, to be an instrument in his hands, there's some things you're going to have to give up. It says in the verse, give yourselves completely to God. I wish that part wasn't in the verse. I wish it said, you know, give yourselves on Sunday to God. Give yourselves when you feel like it to God. Give yourselves when you have extra time to God. It doesn't say that. You know, many people say, you know, I want to serve God, but I also want to do all the other goals I have, all the other plans I have for my life, all the other ambitions I have for my life. Listen to me. You're going to have to sacrifice. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to lay aside your personal ambitions, your goals, your plans for your life, your family, your career, your personal motivations, your drives, your desires? Are you willing to set those aside and say, instead of living for those things, I'm going to live for God's purpose on this earth. I'm going to live the life that God intended for me to have. So you're willing to say no to your own dreams, your own ambitions, your own plans and pleasures, and go God's way. Sacrifice those things so you can live God's plan. Are you willing to give yourself completely to his goals for this world? You say, well, that's a lot to ask. You're right. It's a lot to ask. And God asks it of you if you want to be used by him. C.S. Lewis once said it this way. He said, the only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. He says, if it's true, you know, if it's true that Jesus died, that means something. If it's not true that Jesus didn't die, if he wasn't really who he claimed to be, then we should just go home right now. What's the point of being here? But on the other hand, if Jesus is who he says he is, and he died for me, and he came down from heaven, and he made the ultimate sacrifice, then I owe him my entire life and allegiance. That's it. So that's what I want to talk about, a life of sacrifice. So why in the world would I do that, Todd? Why in the world would I sacrifice my own plans, my own ambitions, my own dreams, my own desires, my own goals for God's purpose for my life? Why would I do that? I want to give you three straightforward answers. I think all of these lead well into the Lord's Supper today. Number one, God did it for you. God will never ask you to do something that he hasn't already done for you. The ultimate example of sacrifice, what we're talking about today, the ultimate example of sacrifice is when God sent his own son, Jesus Christ, and he left heaven and he came to earth, born in a manger. We just celebrated that. Humbly born in a manger. He went through the torturous trial. He died a naked death on a cross as a criminal for you. No one will ever sacrifice more for you than Jesus already has. So today we're going to remember that sacrifice as we take communion, as we have the Lord's Supper. And it seemed appropriate to me to have the Lord's Supper on a Sunday that begins a new year. Now, the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Can you imagine giving up a child for somebody else? Then, can you imagine giving up that child for someone who didn't even know you? Or even worse, someone who didn't even care? Or even worse, someone who hated you and rejected you and thumbed their nose at you and said, you know, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I don't care what you did. I'm going to do my own plan, my own dream, my own ambition. I don't care if you sent your son to die for me. I'm going to do my own thing on earth. Can you imagine doing that? That kind of love is incomprehensible. You know, genuine love, it's always sacrificial. You cannot love somebody. You cannot love God without sacrificing. It takes a sacrifice of time, a sacrifice of energy, a sacrifice of money to love. If you can show me how to love without sacrificing time, energy, and money, I'll sign up right now. But it can't be done. Love always requires sacrifice. And that's the secret of a good marriage. The secret of a successful marriage is both partners must continually and intentionally make both large and small sacrifices for each other. That's it. Both husband and wife must continually and intentionally make small and large sacrifices for each other. There's never marriage problems in that kind of marriage. There's never a power struggle in that kind of marriage. When you're trying to outdo each other and sacrificing for each other, that's what real love is. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. That's the essence of love. So the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. It says in Hebrews 9, but now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. It says in Ephesians 5, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So the verse is saying, if you want to learn to be like Jesus, you're going to have to learn to sacrifice. If you have no sacrifices in your life right now, then there's no love in your life. An unsacrificial life is an unlovely life because it's the essence of love. So giving it up all for the benefit of somebody else, that's what love is. Love is not getting, love is giving. So if there's no sacrifice in your life, then there's no love in your life. It's that simple. So we learn to sacrifice for God's purposes, because he did it for us. Number two, the second straightforward reason. It's what I was made to do. This is why God created you. This is the purpose of your life. It says in Ephesians 2, for we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. Notice that verse. I've told you this many times. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And that plan began a long time ago. It might be new for you, but it's not new for God. That plan, if you read on in the passages there, that plan is that he put you here to benefit other people, not to benefit yourself. You ever tried to use something for a purpose which it was not intended for? Like trying to use a knife when you need a screwdriver? You know how lousy that is, right? Like using a hockey stick instead of a Q-tip? You know? What happens if you try to use something for the purpose it wasn't created for? You're frustrated. It just doesn't work. You know, that's true in your life. When you try to live your life for a purpose you weren't created for, you know what happens? It's inevitable. You'll experience frustration. Going to happen. You know, when you try and live your life in a way God didn't intend for you to live, it brings stress. It brings difficulties. It brings problems in your life. All kinds of failures, all kinds of things. It's like trying to screw in a screw with a knife. It wasn't made for that purpose. You know, you're made to live for God's purposes, not your own. And the sooner we understand that and the sooner we cooperate with that, the sooner our stress can go down and the sooner our frustration level can go down, because you get frustrated, you get stressed out trying to live your plan instead of God's plan. It always happens that way. As long as you keep saying, I've got my plans, my goals, my ambitions, my dreams, you'll be frustrated. You know, God's created certain principles in the universe, and he set these principles in place because he wants you to be like him. So God wants you to become like him, to be godly. And one of the principles he's created, set up, is this. You get by giving. That's a universal principle. You get by giving. Whatever you give out, you're going to get back. So if you give out criticism, you're going to get criticism back. If you give out cynicism, you're going to get cynicism back. Because what you sow is what you're going to reap. And the way to get is to give away. You say, why did God set that universal law? Because that's the way he is. God is a giver. He's generous. He wants you to be generous. He rewards unselfishness. It says in Matthew 10, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Now, I talked to a lot of people, and I've heard many people say stuff. And, you know, you just know they're trying to find themselves. And you always know someone's trying to find themselves, and they'll say things like, you know, right now I'm into, and they'll say, you know, exercising. Or I'm into yoga, or I'm into underwater basket weaving, or sports, or the stock market, whatever it is, collecting certain things. And we look for these things to give our lives meaning, satisfaction, fulfillment, hobbies and sports and careers and collecting things. And those things do not give us lasting significance. We think they will, but they don't. You know, I said earlier that fulfillment comes from doesn't come from self-gratification, it comes from serving. Serving others. It comes from giving your life away. It comes from being what God wanted you to be in the first place. So just let me give you a little advice if you're not too happy these days. Stop seeking happiness. Don't make that the goal. It's like a butterfly. The more you chase it, the more elusive it'll be. It's happiness is a byproduct of being what God made you to be in the first place. So when you focus on being what God made you to be, then you'll be happy. You're going to be happier than you ever thought possible. Because the happiest place to be is right in the center of God's will for your life, being who God made you to be. So why do I sacrifice for God's purpose? Because he's done it for me. And number two, because it's what I was made to do in the first place. And the third straightforward reason is this. God will reward me. God will reward me. Do you ever feel unappreciated for doing the right thing? Do you ever feel unappreciated for helping other people when they don't thank you for it? In fact, maybe they don't even notice. And you start saying, well, why bother? What's the use? Why make the effort? Nobody cares. Nobody even notices. You know, you go to work and you look around the other employees and you say, nobody else is sacrificing. Why should I? Everybody else in the office is just skimming. They're coming late, they leave early, they take long coffee breaks, they're getting by on the minimum. Why in the world would I sacrifice when nobody else is doing it? Or you go home and you put all this work into your home and you say, my husband and my kids don't even notice. They don't even notice how much effort I put into the house. And I make it safe and I make it clean and so we can be together, have a nice place to be together as a family. Why should I even make the effort? I work all day and I'm taken for granted. Nobody notices. God notices. And he is remembering, and he's going to reward the sacrifices in life that you never get thanked for. Hebrews says this, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you've worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. So he says, when you sacrifice to help other people, that's showing love to God. When you help others, the Bible calls that ministry. When you minister to others, you serve others, God says, that's expressing love to me. So, you know, in our church, I was thinking, so many of you sacrifice and you serve, and you say, you know, I'll be a children's worker, I'll be a greeter, I'll be an usher, I'll come in and I'll help, I'll be part of the student ministry. Maybe sometimes you feel like, nobody even notices what I'm doing. God does. He notices. He's watching. The Bible says he's going to remember and he's going to reward you. Are you going to have any rewards when you get to heaven? Or God's going to say, you know, well, you followed me. You started to follow me, but then you lived a pretty selfish life. I don't want to hear that. You were too busy with your own ambitions, your own goals to make time to help other people. Listen, if you're too busy to help somebody else, then you're too busy. It's just the way it is. In Mark, Jesus said this, I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. See what that verse says? He says, Jesus says, whatever you give up in time, energy, money, God says, I'm going to restore it 100-fold. Say, what's that interest rate? It's 10,000% interest. Does your bank give that kind of return? Do you mean, Todd, if I give a minute of my time, God's going to restore it 100-fold? Yes. In fact, money or energy or effort or talent, he says, you get 100-fold return. That's 10,000% interest. You can't get that anywhere else. So our unselfish service is not totally unselfish because God always makes sure that we get back what we give out. You can't outgive God. So many people I've heard give testimonies how they started to serve in a ministry in the church, and they said, "Boy, I was so blessed by what I did. I found more time, I found more energy by being helpful to others." Because whatever you give away, you get more back of it. Now, the greatest example of this is the cross. And today, we're going to remember that with the Lord's Supper. Now, the Old Testament is filled with stories of sacrifice. And those sacrifices, truthfully, it's kind of weird when you read them. Let's read a passage in the New Testament that refers to this. It says that is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, 'Look, I've come to do your will, O God, as is written about me in the scriptures.'" First, Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses." Then he said, "Look, I've come to do your will." That passage is talking about, you know, the old plan in the Old Testament, then the new plan in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they had to make these sacrifices. They had to keep making them and making them because it never paid for the sin. It only covered the sin. But then when Christ comes, he came and he brought that to an end. Isn't the new plan a lot better? Aren't you grateful for the new plan? Here's good news. You can get in on God's new plan for forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you've done. You say, "Todd, you don't know what kind of sinner I've been." Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how much guilt you carry, how many regrets you have, how many things you've messed up, how many people you've hurt. God says anybody can get in on the new plan of forgiveness. It says in Romans, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. The old plan didn't work, right? He sent his own son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. So before we take communion, let me ask you, have you accepted that sacrifice? I mean, everybody knows Jesus died on the cross. It's in Encyclopedia Britannica. It's in Wikipedia, too. It's in history. But many people don't realize God did it for you. And when you break the law, somebody's got to pay the penalty for it. If you get a traffic ticket, either you've got to pay it or somebody's got to pay it. So God came and said, "Your debt, your sin, it's too big for you to pay. You deserve death for it. But I'm going to take the rap for you." Jesus said, "I'll die for you." That's how much God loves you. Have you ever accepted that gift? Or you thumb your nose at God and say, "You know, I don't really care that you sent your son to die for me. I just want to live my own life." I encourage you, accept that gift today. I'm going to pray and give you a chance to pray, and then we're going right into communion. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today. We're amazed that you could love us when we didn't even know you. You knew us even before we were born. Thousands of years ago, you knew we would be born and we'd be living here at the beginning of 2012. And you knew all the stupid things we'd do, all the mistakes, all the sins, all the people we'd hurt, all the things we'd say that were wrong, the lies, all those different things in our lives, the pride. And you still love us. That's amazing. And today we accept your gift. If you've never done it before, maybe you just want to say your own prayer. "Jesus, I accept your gift of salvation. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. I don't understand it all, but as much as I know how, I accept your gift of forgiveness. I want to live my life the way you want me to live it. I want to follow your plan for my life, not my plan. I know I'll be more happy doing your thing than the frustration I'm feeling trying to do my own thing. I want to follow you from here on out. In Jesus' name, amen.